Joshua chapter 11, look with me in verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all the land, the hills and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the Sin, even from the mount of Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, certainly just in need a touch from you. And Lord, we do thank you tonight. And now, what a lovely name that you have tonight. An exalted name, a name that is above all names tonight. And thank you for dying for us so that we could come to you and get saved. But tonight, while we preach, we certainly need a touch from you. Nothing I can do in my own. And these dear people out here tonight know that. They realize that if anything's going to come, it's going to have to come from heaven tonight. I've studied, I've prayed, I've tried to do my best that I know to do tonight. But without you, I can do nothing. And I realize that. Now, Lord, I pray you'd touch us, anoint us afresh, and that from heaven. And again, bless your people. Save somebody in this house that might be lost. And we'll give the glory for it all. Save that sinner nearest to you. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You be seated tonight. As I begin to look at this scripture and begin to have this thought, as Joshua and the children of Israel, they're taken all in that of the promised land. And God had commanded Moses and that to go over until he had sinned over there, and he had smote the rock twice. And God said to smite it one time, and he did, and water came forth. And so as they went on a little bit further, God said, go out there at another time. And he said, speak to the rock. And Moses come out there and said, oh, you bunch of rebels, must I come out here and fetch you water? And he ride back with that same staff, and he smote the rock, and the rock did give forth water. But because of Moses' disobedience, he was not able to go in and back to the promised land. And God took him up into Mount Nebo and let him look all over the promised land of what the children of Israel was going to gather and what they were going to have. And as Big Jim Seaton used to say, he said, God just hugged up Moses so tight that he just smothered him to death up there on Mount Nebo and then took him home. And so Joshua and that took over, and they began to fight and began to conquer in the land of Israel as we know it today. And the Bible said in verse 18 that Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Now let me say today that we liken the land of Canaan a lot of time and that to heaven. But let me say this, they were battling in Canaan. They were fighting in Canaan, and they were struggling to get there at times. Let me say this, I'm living in Canaan now. I'm fighting a battle, friend. I'll be honest with you. I'm out of the wilderness. I got saved, and I've got out of the wilderness, and I'm in Canaan now. And I'm a fighting all that I know how. Hey, the Bible said to fight the good fight of faith. Your Christian life is likened to a race, but it's also likened and that to a fight. But I want you to look in verse 15. So here's what we want to preach at tonight. The very first verse we read. And the Bible said that he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. I want to preach tonight on having a thought on leaving some things undone. Leaving some things undone. That word undone means to be reversed or to be ruined. But it also means to be not done, not performed, or not executed. I think most of us know what that means. Everything that God told Moses and Moses told Joshua, and the Bible said he didn't leave anything undone. Joshua done all that he was supposed to do. And so tonight I ask us this question, have we done all that we were supposed to do? Now sometimes, let me say this real quick by way of introduction, we leave things undone for the sake of convenience. If it's not easy to do, we don't want to do it. Ain't that right? Hey, listen, if you leave your door, let me say this and say this. If you leave your door undone tonight, if you didn't lock it, guess who's probably going to break in and rob you blind? Well, the burglar will, won't he, tonight? If you leave certain things undone, it's going to cost you tonight. But listen, we live in a day and an age where if it does not come easy, and if it is not easy to accomplish, And then we don't want to have anything to do with it. We would leave it undone. And the same happens in our Christian life. Now, I'm going to have a little fun with my wife tonight, and I poke at her a lot and carry on. And she says, I wish you wouldn't do that, but I mean, it's so easy some days. And so we'll be in there, and I'll be practicing a new song that she's wanting to sing. And, I'll have to look for a chord, and I try to find it or set the piano and find it. And she'll say, oh, if it's going to be hard, let's just not do it. And it's not that it's going to be hard. You just got to give me time to practice and figure things out sometimes. You just got to figure, you know, not everything's going to be easy, friend. And sometimes to not leave things undone, we're going to have to strive at them, and we're going to have to work at them. And I believe you'll understand as I begin to preach. Let me say number one, first of all, and leaving it undone, leaving things undone, there's folk that leave salvation undone. They leave out of this world and that not being saved. You may be sitting in here tonight and you do not have salvation. You have not trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, listen, Isaiah seen it like this. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Why did he say that? He said, then said I, what did he see or what had happened prior to that? Listen, if you go back in the prior chapter in Isaiah chapter 6 and look at the prior verses, you'll find out that Isaiah saw God high on his throne. High and lifted up. He's seen the glory and that of God. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when we see the Lord for who He is, then it begins to shine a light on who we are. Yes. Amen. Hey, listen, friend. When we see how big and great that He is, and He's the one that went to Calvary. He's the one that died for me and you. He's the one that gave His life. He's the one that was sinless. He's the one that paid the sacrifice. Hey, when I see Him and I look at me, I'd have to say, whoa, for I'm undone. But I come to Him one Sunday night. How about you? Don't have to be a Sunday night, be a Sunday morning, any other day of the week, any other time of the day. Buddy of mine was on the job one time, working night shift. 3 o'clock in the morning, got under conviction on the job, left the job, went to the preacher's house. I knocked on his door, and at the preacher's dinner table, he led him to the Lord. Listen, when you see yourself undone, that's the time to get saved. Salvation is a need that you don't need to leave undone. You need to be saved tonight. You know, without salvation, you cannot get to heaven. Amen. Without getting saved, you can't. There is not enough good works. As Brother Caldwell preached on over at the nursing home today, there's not enough good works for you to get to heaven on your own. You can't do it. Can I tell you that if you don't get saved, if you are not saved tonight without salvation, you cannot miss hell. Listen, that place still bothers me. Not because I'm dying and going there. I got saved from that place. But it's a real place that men and women, young men and young women are slipping off into today because they've left some things undone in salvation and never trusted the God of heaven and that to save them. They say, that's your way. That's your way, not mine. I went to see a fellow the other day at the nursing home here in Athens. I was asked to go visit him. And when I got in there and I introduced myself to him, and I think I told some of y'all about this, he said, do I know you? And I said, no, you don't know me. And I made the mistake of telling him that I was a preacher. And he began to tell me he didn't want to have, and he went ugly, but he began to tell me he didn't want to have anything to do with what I had to say. And I wish I'd have made him mad. I may go back and make him mad yet, because I'm going to get some things said. I think he needs to understand some things that if I'm right, let me say this, that if he's right and I'm wrong, there's not a big deal. If a man just dies and he ceases to exist and he is no longer, so what if you don't trust Christ? My friend, if I'm right tonight, and I know I am because I know the Bible's right. How do I know the Bible's right? I've tried it, man. I found this book to be true. It's always true. Even when I'm wrong, it's right. Amen. And it's powerful tonight. Thank God. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than two-edged sword. If I need to the side. I mean, it'll just get down on the inside of us tonight. At the end of that verse, he said, and he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It knows us tonight. But you can't miss hell without it. So I'm going to go ask him here in a day or two as God will move my heart to go. I'm going to ask him, what if I'm right and you're wrong? I mean, what's it going to hurt you to get saved? What's it hurt anybody to get saved? Not a thing. But boy, they sure enough have assurance. And they've got insurance and assurance. And that of heaven tonight without salvation. You leave salvation undone. You cannot have peace and joy without that. You cannot do it. But he realized that he was undone. He realized that. Hey, listen, do you realize that Agrippa and Felix both realized that they were undone? But they didn't do nothing about it. When they left out of this world, what was it? What was it? Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Felix told Paul over that one time. He said, when I have a convenience. You know, he was under conviction because the Bible said, as a reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. The Bible said that Felix trembled and answered, said, go thy way. And when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. He was under conviction. That's a good time to get saved when you're under conviction. Well, I don't believe you can get saved if you ain't under conviction. I don't believe you can get saved till God breaks your heart and shows you that you're lost. But don't leave salvation undone tonight. He said right here that Joshua didn't leave anything undone. Then let me say this, number two, in leaving things undone, we leave sin undone sometimes, don't we? Leave sin undone. We don't deal with that. And that's what Isaiah dealt with in Isaiah 6 when he said, for woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And that angel comes down there and takes that fire off, that coal off the fire, and purges his lips and makes him clean, and he deals and that with his sin. But let me say this tonight, that when we leave sin undone, it's going to hurt us. Do you realize that tonight when we have unconfessed sin? You know, it's one thing to do something and we've not realized that we've been... Do you think you can do that? Let me ask you that tonight. It's a rhetorical question, but I'll answer it for us. I think sometimes that we get in a place tonight that we may not realize that we have done something wrong. Take your Bible tonight and go over to Psalms chapter 19. I want you to go to Psalms 19 tonight. Psalms 19. Now I will say this, that when I'm fixing to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit's generally screaming at me. I'll just be honest with you; it's generally screaming at me. But sometimes we do things so quickly without praying, or we let our mouth run away from us. But I want you to look in Psalms chapter 19, and I want you to look in verse 12. And the writer says right here, the psalmist did. He said, "Who can understand his errors?" That's a question. He said, who can understand his errors? You know, can we understand where we've messed up? And I think we can tonight. But then he said this. He said, cleanse thou me from my what? Secret faults. Now, I believe there's some sins and faults that we keep within ourselves that is secret to us. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody else knows about. We don't want nobody else to know about them. And so David right here, he says, cleanse me from my secret faults, from my secret sins. But I also think that there's sometimes that we do some things that if we're not careful, that we just go on and we've said things or we've done things that, friend, that we should not have done. And we've just not dealt with them. We've went on. The Holy Spirit bothered us, and we put off dealing with it. And let me tell you this: the longer that you put off dealing with something, as the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart, and the longer that you put it off, and the more you tell Him no, the less we feel that knocking. The less we feel the Holy Spirit trying to deal with us in our life. Why? We begin to harden our heart, don't we? We begin to harden our heart. And listen, I made this statement the other day and was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. You remember when Brother Larry came and preached to us here back in February, I believe it was in February, that he was talking about. He got on the altar and began to ask the Lord to show him things that he needed to fix in his life. And he said, God began to show me and showed me so much that I got up off the altar and left the church. I was tired of talking to the Lord. Now, that's a place to be, ain't it, friend? And we think that's comical that Larry would say that and do that. I have no doubt that that man done exactly what he said he'd done. But, you know, I would dare say that we would find ourselves in the same place. If we ask the Lord and say, Lord, show me where I've been wrong on things. You know what I dare say? The Lord began to show us where we've been wrong on some things. Now look in verse 13. I'm talking about leaving some things undone. We'll get here. I believe some of you are getting it right now. Look what he said in verse 13. He said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And you know what that word presumptuous means in verse 13? Do you understand what that means? That word presumptuous right there means willful or of bold design. He said, keep me back from presumptuous sins. It's one thing to do something in secret. It's another thing to do something when we don't realize what we've done. And I think that's few and far between, by the way. But he said, keep me from presumptuous sin. Keep me from that willful sin, from that sin that I knowingly go do. That I, with boldness in my heart, I go in sin. Thumbing my nose at the Lord and telling him I'm going to do it anyway. Kind of like the prodigal, wasn't it? He got what was coming to him. He put her in a suitcase and away he went. Knowing better than what he was doing. But he said right here, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Lord, don't let me have the heart and the mind to go out in my will and in my desire and that to sin against you. Let them not have dominion over me. Don't let that sin have dominion on me. Then shall I be upright. When I get sin took care of, I can be upright. You know, you can't be upright. Just let me deal with this point right here. This comes a little later in the message on this, but I'll deal with it right now. Until you take care of sin, you can't be upright with the Lord. You can't be upright with your brethren. You can't be upright with the church. I must deal with that undone sin that you've not wanted to confess. That you've tucked away in your heart and you've hid somewhere, or that you've hid from everybody else and didn't want to deal with it. I've been there. I know, friend. Whether it is a sin of omission or commission or something you're doing or something that you shouldn't do, maybe something you're watching on TV or a habit that you have or something that you've said or something that you've done. And it's against God. Our relationship gets hindered with the Lord when we leave sin undone. We think that folk don't care. We think that God don't care whether we deal with our sin. David, he wanted to deal with his sin. He said, Lord, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, what I say and what I dwell upon, think upon, he said, let it be acceptable in thy sight. Do we do that? Do we ask God that? Do we talk to the Lord that way and say, Lord, what I'm thinking right now, I told my wife tonight, we was coming to church, and we were talking about some things, and I said, I probably ain't supposed to be this way, but this is just the way that I am right now, and I'm not going to change right now. You know, sometimes it's okay to be angry when you've got something to be angry at, as long as it's not causing you to sin. You'll be angry and sin not. Amen? I mean, it's okay to be angry. But sometimes, especially in my case, and I look at it and I look at myself, and sometimes our flesh wants to get the better of us in our anger. And it's liable to cause us to sin if we ain't careful tonight. The way that I think, you know that leaving sin undone hinders our relationship with the Lord. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Listen, I want him to hear me when I pray. Boy, I tell you, it's my prayer life suffers sometimes. I mean, it does. I mean, I pray, and boy, I wonder if God heard. And I pray, and I want to see God move. And boy, before I left the house this morning, I said, Lord, won't you just come by and visit with us in this morning service? It ain't that I don't pray that every Sunday morning. I try my best to pray that every Sunday morning before I leave the house and pray it through the week and talk to him about the service and what to preach. But man, I'm so glad he come by and visited with us this morning. If nobody else in here needed what happened this morning, this preacher needed
what happened this morning. I needed him to stir in my heart. But listen, our relationship with the Lord gets hindered when we leave things undone. Listen, the Bible said in Proverbs 28, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, God ain't going to bless us. What did he say? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You know that I believe that a saved person cannot prosper financially and will not prosper spiritually when there's sin in their life. You say, well, look at all these people out here sinning, preacher, and they're doing a great job financially. One, you think they are, but you don't know their checkbook. And two, who said they were saved? We make a lot of assumptions about people's spirituality sometimes that they may not be saved. Just because they're a church member does not make them saved tonight. Just because they go to church does not make them saved. Hey, there's a lot of folks as we looked at this morning that has religion but does not have salvation. So let me say that you don't need to leave sin undone. You need to deal with it because it's going to haunt you. And you know what it does? It's like, and I'm going to deal with this here in a minute, but it brings other things along with it. It makes us hard-hearted toward the Lord. It makes us hard-hearted toward the things of God. That's why if you've not dealt with sin tonight, you're hating what I'm preaching on. You may have a smile on your face, but you're inside. You're saying, boy, I hate that preacher tonight. I know. I've been in your shoes and hated the preacher. Because, man, he was a hammer where I was. You know what God was trying to do? God was trying to help me and fix me where I could be a vessel for him. Jeremiah chapter 3. We go back to what he said in Proverbs. He that covereth sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's the greatest form of repentance that I've ever seen. Confess it and forsake it. He told Israel in Jeremiah 3. He said, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Then he goes on in verse 4 and he said, and turn, O backsliding children. Acknowledge it and turn from it. Greatest thing you can ever do with sin. But if you leave it undone, it's going to haunt you. It's going to haunt you. Number three, we leave service undone, don't we? You go to Matthew chapter 23. I want you to look with me there tonight. Matthew chapter 23. And look with me here. Now he's talking to the Pharisees, the hypocrites. Well, you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Boy, he's hard on them. You know, that's the only people Jesus ever got hard with, was a bunch of religious, pharisaical, legalistic, bunch of men over there that thought they knew God, but they didn't. Because he said in John 8:44, you have your father. He said, if you'd known God, he said, you'd have known me. He said, if you'd have known the God of Abraham, you would have known me. Because I come forth from him. John 8:44, he said, you have your father, the devil, unless your father's you'll do. And so, boy, he really worked on them there. But look in verse 23 of chapter 23 of the book of Matthew. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. What had they done? They had paid their tithe like they were supposed to. Can I say that a lot of folk, they come to church and they put a certain amount of money, they put their tithe money in the plate, and they think everything is done. They think their job at serving the Lord is done when they put their money in that plate. I've come on Sunday morning, I've heard the preacher preach, I got my money in the plate, we're good to go. He told them right here, he says, what have you done? For you pay tithe of mint and of anise and cumin. But he said, what you've done is you've left something undone. He said, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. He said, there were some things that should have happened before their tithe. There were some things, if you'd let me say this, that was more important to God than their tithe. Can I tell you tonight, there's more things important to God than making sure that you get your money in the tithe plate. Now listen to me, I didn't tell you not to tithe, because I believe that's biblical tonight. I believe we see that from the beginning to the end. That's not what I'm telling you. But if you think the most important thing in serving the Lord tonight is making sure that your money gets in the plate, you're mistaken tonight. And you need to understand that. I think it's part of it, and I think it needs to be done. But he said, you've omitted the weightier matter, something that's more. He said, you've omitted judgment, mercy, and faith. He said, that's what you've left undone in your service to God. Can I tell you tonight, there's a church and his church people and it's his people that we can leave service undone. Have you ever left your service to the Lord undone? I have. Shame on us tonight. Shame on me. I'll be honest with you. There's been times, I remember there was a feller. He was in the middle, it was on a Sunday, and he was out in the middle of the meeting out there on Congress Parkway, and he was picking up trash. I don't know why he done it on Sunday, but we blowed by him there, and the Lord spoke to me, and I have no doubt it was the Lord, because my flesh sure wouldn't have told me to do it, and I know the devil didn't want me to do it, and said, stop and give that man a track and talk to him. I drove all the way home, and I dropped my wife off, and God bothered me all the way home. And when I got home, I dropped her off and I said, I got to go back and talk to that gentleman. Now, I almost left that thing undone. Did you get him saved? No. I'm sure the Lord would have saved him. He was a Roman Catholic. He needed to get saved. I left him with a tract and talked to him about the Lord and invited him to get saved. But listen, he didn't want to. But I got a track in his hand. And that's more important than anything, as long as he'll take it and read it. There was my wife will tell you, there was one time we went through the drive-thru at Wendy's, and I needed to give that little girl in the window a track. I'm a track man. Y'all know that, don't you? I mean, hey, we carry them. Need to carry them. And you know what? You can't hand them out if you ain't got them. Man alive, I hate being somewhere needing to give one out and not have one. That frustrates me to no end. You know why I carry these little ones like this? One, y'all know my theory on a lot of this stuff. They are non-confrontational. A lot of them boys, they want to print the serpent and the devil and fire rolling off the front of that thing and everything. And ain't nobody wants to look at that. It may be the truth. But I'm trying to get it into somebody's hand to where they'll take it and open it up and they can meet Jesus in that thing, friend. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't want to be confrontational when it comes to getting somebody. Now, if you want to talk about Bible doctrine, we'll do that, and I'll get confrontational all day long if you'll do. But at least I'm trying to get somebody saved, you know. I don't want to be confrontational about that, but I do want them to realize that they're dying and going to hell. I do want them to realize that. I want them to realize that Jesus can save them and loves them and wants to save them. But listen, I remember we left Wendy's. We'd got our food, and my wife knew, she knew that I needed to give that little girl a track, and I did too. And we turned and come out and got on the old road, and she said, don't you go home without doing what you're supposed to do. Because she knew I was going to be miserable the whole time. Why did she know that I was going to be miserable? Because I had left things undone before. You see. I turned around. I went back, and now you're thinking about an excuse why you're going to have to go back through the drive-thru again just to buy something again to give that girl a track. I got me a Frosty out of the deal. Amen. Did you know that there's been times that I've drove away and the Lord say, you should have given them a track. You should talk to them about me. And I say, Lord, can I come back tomorrow and do it? We're in a hurry. Lord, I promise you I'll come back and I'll deal with that tomorrow. And you know when tomorrow comes, I never think about that. It's out of my mind. I left it undone. You see what I'm saying tonight? We can leave things like that undone. We can leave opportunities undone. How many of us has had great opportunities to speak for the Lord, but yet we leave it undone? Shame on us tonight. Shame on us. How many of us has left our prayer time and our daily Bible reading time undone when we ought to do it? Know that we should do it and got time to do it. You know, when I worked a public job, and man, we would work, I love 7 to 3:30. I always loved that shift. And we'd work 7 to 3:30, and I'd come in, and we'd wire houses on the side, and we'd work from 9 to 10 o'clock at night. And I would take Tuesdays and Wednesdays off, and we might work on Thursdays and on work wiring houses, you know, other than a public job. You know, I thank the Lord had a little mercy on me when I was working like that. If my Bible reading slipped a little bit, or my prayer time slipped a little bit, because he knew I was working. But I pastor full time now. You know, I don't have an excuse not to read my Bible or pray. I don't. I have no excuse to leave my Bible reading and my prayer time undone. You all pay me to be full time. I have no reason to do that. But yet I can find every now and again that I'll leave that undone. I'm not saying God didn't care about me not reading it back when I was working. I'm saying He had a little mercy on me. That's what I'm saying. Listen, we need to be careful, because that's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. Can I tell you, if we don't witness when we should and take opportunities when we should, you know, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for that. You know, when we have the opportunity to deal with the ought with our brother, we shouldn't leave it undone. You know, Matthew chapter 5 says this: therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother has to ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know what he's saying? If you come to church and you realize that your brother, your sister in Christ has an ought against you, and you come to church. Now this is how important he says to make it right. He says you leave church and you go make it right, and then come back to church. Why? You ain't going to get nothing out of church anyway. Well, think about that for just a second. He said, if you come to the altar and you're going to offer a gift, he said, you leave your gift and you go get things right. But you know what we'll do? We'll leave that undone, won't we? We'll leave that undone. You say, well, what happens if they won't get right with me? You can't make folk get right with you. But you can sure enough try. I think sometimes we're afraid to try. Well, they're liable to holler at me or yell at me. Tell me they don't want to get right with me. Okay. Walk away. You tried. But you know what we'll do? We'll leave it undone. And there'll be bitterness and hatefulness. Matthew chapter 18 said, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as unto thee a heathen man and a publican. But you got to try. You can't leave it undone. Preacher, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't either sometimes. I told somebody the other day, I said, there's a reason I'm not dealt with some things. And part of it was one reason, but another was because I just didn't want to. Have you ever just not done something because you just didn't want to? Been there. And we leave it undone, and the longer we leave that thing undone, bitterness jumps in, and that root of bitterness springing up that Hebrews 12 talks about springs up inside of us and defiles us. Preach on the root of bitterness sometimes. Bitterness sets in, resentment sets in. You say, I have dealt with things, preacher, and God, it took care. That's great. It's great. You say, well, it didn't turn out like I thought it was going to turn out. Yeah, but if you dealt with it, it's not undone anymore. Just because you deal with it does not mean it's always going to turn out good, but it's not undone. You see what I'm saying? As long as it's undone, there's always going to be a cloud hanging there. There's always going to be something there. But when we deal with that between us and our brother, our sister, hey, at least we know we've done what we could.
and it's not undone anymore. You know, if you leave things undone in the home, I'm determined that's a lot of problem. Things just get left undone in the home. Want to keep peace. Don't want to rock the boat. Don't want to make my kids mad. I don't want to keep up from having an argument. At least I don't like having arguments either. But you know, there's some things that are serious enough to have. If you've got to have an argument between you and mama or between you and daddy, have that argument. Drag that Bible out. Let's sit down and talk about it while we're this way. I'm talking about spiritual matters in the home. Man, it's got quiet all of a sudden. Man, he got quiet. We leave things undone in the home and we let children rule the home and go the way that they want to. I was telling my wife today, I said, hey, there's one poor fella I know that, man, his daughter's running the house, man. I mean, mama ain't even running the house. Daddy ain't running. His daughter's running the house. It ain't supposed to be that way. You know why she's running the house? Things got left undone years ago. And they're still undone right now. Preacher, you're making a judgment on that thing. Man, when the man will just about tell you that if you sit down and talk to him. I'm talking about spiritual things and how the home is to be set up and how it's to be run. The husband is to be the head of the wife and wife head of the children. And it's just that way, friend. I'm not changing the word of God to suit you, me, or my wife. Just the way it is. My wife's, we are equal. But at the end of the day, I've got to pull the trigger on things and make the decision. That, you know, husbands won't talk to wives. They'll get in a sniff or a fight and then they just won't talk about it. They'll go on like things didn't happen. You better deal with it. You better not leave it undone. It's going to get you if you start leaving things undone like that. Boy, I didn't mean to deal with all that. Boy, ain't it good tonight. Amen. Leave things undone in our home tonight. Just because your child or your kid wants to go do it, don't mean you ought to let them do it, friend. You need to get a hold of some things in your home and deal with it. Well, it just would be easier. See, that's the problem. It would just be, not. It's hard now because you left things undone a long time ago. Are you mad? No, but I'm about to get angry. Because some people knows better about some things. And I don't know what's going on in your home. I really don't. I'm not preaching at nobody here tonight that I know about. But I'm going to tell you, if you keep leaving things undone, it's going to cost you down the road. Amen. It's going to cost you. Then we leave things undone in our prayer life, don't we? You know, things that used to be important to us to pray about, but yet God has not answered that prayer and God has not said stop praying that prayer. But yet for some reason, we stopped. We stopped praying for somebody that was lost to get saved. Shame on us. Right? I mean, if they were important enough to request prayer for on Wednesday night, don't you think they're important enough and that for you to pray for them to get saved in your daily prayer life? I've been meaning to call a preacher friend of mine. They run about 270 in Sunday school. And I've been meaning to call him and ask him, how do you pray for all your people? I mean, just to pray for you, I'll start in one place. Y'all know how I'm going to start one place and I pray down and come back up and go down or start over here and back and forth. Sometimes I'll get real creative. Now, you got to be careful. I'm liable to miss somebody and I'll pray this way. You know, I don't know. Having fun in my prayer life, I guess. I don't know. I've also come in here at times and stood at each pew and prayed. But I've been wanting to know how my friend, how he prays. I mean, man, praying for y'all, just praying for you all takes a long time. I mean, it does. Now, listen, I'm not bragging. I'm not tooting my own. I don't want you to see that. I'm just saying it takes a long time. Plus everything else to pray for.
But as I began to study this and I thought about this, you know, there's been things even in this church that we've wanted to do, and seems like we just quit praying. Or at least I did. And I've left it undone. You know, it's important to keep praying. God will give you direction. God will help you. And God's just liable to answer that thing. What about leaving our service undone? Teaching. Being in your place. You say, I don't teach. I don't preach. I don't sing. But you've got a place.
Amen.
Some people's left it undone, hadn't they? Don't leave it undone. And so, preacher, I'm not... You know, you can do without me. Oh, no. No, we can't. And we don't want to either. Can I tell you this? You can't go forward when it's left undone. If you don't have sin, if you don't have sin taken care of and dealt with, you can't go forward. Okay? You can't serve God right. That prodigal was away from home. He was away from his father. He was away from his family. He was away from his friends. And he could not do what he was supposed to be doing because he was in the wrong place. And when sin is in our life that is unconfessed and we've left it undone, we don't have the right relationship with the Father. We don't have the right relationship one with another, nor with the church. We cannot serve him like we should. When we leave other things undone in our service, we cannot go forward. If you need to get saved tonight, I want you to come. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house if we would. Won't have no music tonight. Won't have no singing. But if you've left some things undone, you can come. You can just. And can I tell you this tonight too? That sometimes what you've left undone, you can go right back to where you was and pick it right up. Say, Lord, I'm sorry that I left it undone. Here I am. I want to fix it. I want to go. And sometimes you can actually go back and pick it right back up where it was and keep going. But you know, sometimes we leave it undone and God's done moved on from right there. God's done moved on. I told you about the story coming through loud, and God just burdened me to stop at the co-op. Had no idea why he wanted me to stop at the co-op. No reason for why he'd want me to stop, but he wanted me to stop. And I drove down the road, got past Philadelphia down there, and finally said, Lord, okay, I'm going to turn around and go back. And he said, you might as well go on home because the time is done past. Does that mean, preacher, I can't get right with God? No, that ain't it. It ain't that you can't get right with God. It's just you've left that undone, and it's cost you at that point. These people, no doubt, that some of us should have witnessed to, and they've slipped off into eternity and died and gone to hell. And you know what? We left it undone. It's going to get us at the judgment seat. We'll have to answer for that. If you've got some things undone in your life, maybe you're unsaved tonight, and you need to come and get saved, I want you to move. If first sin come deal with you, first service that you need to deal with, would you come tonight?